All right, in your Bibles this afternoon to 1 Corinthians, and we're looking at chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been studying the book of 1 Corinthians for quite a number of weeks and months, just going through passage by passage. And as I mentioned in the previous message, although 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 deal with gifts in general, we will spend more detailed study on the gift of tongues because it seems to be singled out today by many sincere Christians as a necessary proof of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was also wrongly singled out by carnal, pride-filled Corinthian Christians as the only gift they considered worth having. In the course of our study, we've learned some principles concerning spiritual gifts in general. Let me just review those principles for us. Number one, it seems that all spiritual gifts can be placed in one of two categories: speaking gifts and service gifts. However, ultimately, they are all service gifts because they are meant to be used in service to others. The second principle is that most believers have one, although the apostles evidently had almost all the gifts. Or another way to look at it is that each believer has been given a spiritual gift that is a unique blend of supernatural ability or a unique expression of one of these categories of gifts listed in several places in the epistles. By the way, if you missed any of these messages, go back to our website and just check there and listen to those. These afternoon messages are pretty short, around 25, 35 minutes, so they're good, excuse me, a good chunk that doesn't take up too much of your time if you have a half an hour to spare. The third principle is each different gift is distributed by the Holy Spirit to each believer as the Holy Spirit decides, not as the believer decides. Number four principle, it is God who supernaturally energizes and enables the believer to exercise his gift. It is not something that the believer can effectively carry out in the power of his own flesh or willpower. Number five, the purpose of these gifts was to benefit the other believers, not to prove something about the believer who had been given the gift. Number six, these spiritual gifts God has given to every believer are not optional, but rather are vital and essential in order to grow in grace and glorify God as a local church. Now that we've covered briefly in the previous several messages what the other gifts are, we will take time to deal with the gift of tongues in the next three messages in the series, including this afternoon's message. I hope you've been able to see that most of the gifts or gift categories listed in the New Testament are still operating today. But that there are a few gifts, attesting sign gifts specifically, that, as a general rule, ceased with the completion of the scriptures. We saw that the gift of healing and the gift of miracles were temporary sign gifts. Now, we will deal with two more temporary sign gifts, tongues and interpretation of tongues, as a single issue. As I said, if you missed any of the messages covering the gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, you can go back and listen to number 21, number 22, and number 23 in this series on 1 Corinthians by finding them on our website. I should also mention here that this gift of tongues we're dealing with in Scripture is the supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to speak in languages that believer had never learned before. It is not some angelic language that no one can understand. So please be very careful to understand the definition of this gift of tongues. That false idea has been responsible for a whole system of doctrinal error and unbiblical practices that have taken over thousands of churches. You can see why it is so important to understand this issue. Would you follow along with me then as I read for us 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 30, and pray for my throat. It feels like I'm breathing dust. I don't know what's going on here. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, that is preaching, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Notice that tongues is plural. It means languages, so various kinds of languages, and to another the interpretation of these languages. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills, the Holy Spirit wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, that is, Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? And now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all not one member, where would the body be? Now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues or languages. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? This afternoon, we're going to briefly look at some reasons why the gift of tongues is not a sign that a person has been saved or has received the Holy Spirit, as some churches falsely teach. In the next couple messages, we'll get into much more detail on the purpose of tongues and why there was already an abuse and misuse of this gift, even in the church in Corinth, to the point that Paul shows the difference between the true gift and the devil's counterfeit, which was basically mindless gibberish. First of all, then, tongue speaking is not a sign that a person is saved or has received the Holy Spirit. The error of believing that tongue speaking is a sign of receiving the Holy Spirit comes from taking out of context the manifestation of this sign very early in Acts. When the Holy Spirit fell on the group of believers that were praying on the day of Pentecost, they were able to speak, preach the gospel, actually, in languages they had not previously learned. When the Holy Spirit was demonstrating to Jews who thought the gospel was only for Jews, he used the same supernatural sign of tongues speaking that these Jews had already witnessed on the day of Pentecost. And this confirmed to these skeptical Jews that God had indeed also intended not just Jews, but Samaritans and Gentiles as well to receive the Holy Spirit and therefore salvation. Aren't you glad that salvation is also for we who are Gentiles as well as for the Jews? Praise the Lord that that was made very clear here in the book of Acts. In fact, if you have the book of Acts, turn to chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Then we'll look at Acts chapter 10. So Acts 8, verse 14, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers, that is Jews, who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? So let me point out something here about the nature of the tongues mentioned in verse 46 here. As I mentioned in the introduction, this gift of tongues is the supernatural ability given to some believers by the Holy Spirit to speak in languages that believer had never learned before. In every case, the languages spoken were understood by someone present who could speak that language and who verified that they were exalting God, as you see in chapter 10, verse 46, or preaching the mighty deeds of God, as you see in Acts chapter 2, verse 11. They could not have known that unless they knew that language. So it's very important to keep that in mind. On the other hand, in many other references in the New Testament to people believing on Jesus, nowhere is there mention of this speaking in tongues. So turn with me to Romans chapter 10, if you will. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. In this very clear and classic explanation of salvation, there's no mention of tongues. If it were a necessary part of salvation, this would have been the passage to include it. So if tongue speaking were a sign that a person is saved or has received the Holy Spirit, and it's strange that it's mentioned so rarely in the New Testament. The fact is that the gift of tongues is mentioned in only three chapters in Acts, chapter 2, chapter 10, and chapter 19. That's it. And in 1 Corinthians, three chapters there, chapter 12, 13, and 14. Period. That's it. Nowhere else in the New Testament is that gift mentioned. I believe it's also implied in Acts chapter 8 and assumed in the missionary journeys of Paul, where he preached the gospel to many different people groups, especially in light of his statement in 1 Corinthians 14, 18, that he spoke in tongues more than anyone in the Corinthian church. In other words, since he was preaching the gospel to many people groups, he would have definitely needed to be able to communicate the gospel to them in their native language. So that's important to understand that principle. Now, from Paul's discussion of the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, we have to conclude that this gift was the least of all the gifts and was only given to some believers, definitely not to all believers. This itself should suffice as conclusive evidence that it was not a sign that a person is saved or has received the Holy Spirit. Let's summarize these conclusions then regarding the gift of tongues. The first conclusion is that the true gift of tongues was only given to some believers, definitely not to all believers. Therefore, it could not have been a sign to signify that a person was saved. That sign seems to have been used initially by the Holy Spirit to indicate that salvation was to be granted equally to the Jews, the Gentiles, and Samaritans, who were half Jewish, half Gentile. This speaking in tongues was very likely a one-time occurrence in these new believers' experience and was for the purpose of proving to the other Jews who were present that these individuals truly were saved. And more importantly, that the people group they represented, whether Samaritans or Gentiles, were also included in God's plan to save the lost. We see that in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, and chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. The gift of tongues was a gift that enabled that believer to speak a variety of languages, not just one foreign language. The Greek word used is the plural noun, languages, in reference to that believer. The gift to one believer of languages and the gift to another believer of interpretation of languages always comes last in the lists that include them. You can check that out in chapter 12, verse 10, and verse 28, and verse 30. This indicates that they are the least important gifts. It could be that two of the reasons this gift was of least importance are, number one, that this gift can be easily counterfeited by demonic means. Let me say that again. This gift can be easily counterfeited by demonic means. And number two, this gift was desired most by those who were ruled by pride. So according to 1 Corinthians 13, 8, the gift of tongues would soon cease by itself. Remember, the middle voice in Greek means this verb is reflexive, or is not only the actor, but also the beneficiary of this action. So the fact that this gift would soon cease is confirmed by the fact that the later epistles don't even mention the gift of tongues at all. Even while the gift of tongues was still current at the time of the writing of this epistle, remember, 1 Corinthians was the earliest epistle that we can tell, except for maybe the book of James. So it was very early in that time. And also the book of Acts, which is also very early in that time. So even though the gift of tongues was still current at the time of the writing of this early epistle, Paul points out in chapter 14 the fact that prophesying, that is preaching, was a much better gift because other believers could receive immediate edification through it. The gift of tongues was useless to other believers unless there was an interpreter. And even then, it was a cumbersome and time-consuming way of communicating God's truth, having to be spoken twice, once in the foreign language, then again by the translator. I remember our sister church, Église Baptiste Centrale de Laval, when we first came to Quebec, I didn't know any French, which is funny because my last name is French. But I didn't know any French. And so when we visited Église Baptiste Centrale de Laval, and there was a speaker in French, then someone would be interpreting it into English. And so we would wait and hear somebody speaking in French. Then finally they would interpret it in English. So, okay, that's what he was saying. And so you had to wait while the person spoke in the language you didn't understand until they interpreted it into English, the one I did understand. And so what a blessing it is to know here that what Paul is saying is, look, if you're getting the word of God preached to you directly in the language you understand, that's a lot less cumbersome than having to say it in a foreign language and then have it interpreted so that you can understand it. Does everybody gather that? Everybody understand that part? Okay, we should. If you live in Quebec, we should understand interpretation stuff. Okay, all right. So the gift of tongues was useless to other believers unless there was an interpreter, and even then it was cumbersome and time-consuming having to be spoken twice, once in a foreign language, then again by the translator. So Paul lays down some rules for prophesying, that is preaching, speaking in tongues, which was basically preaching in a foreign language, and any other public preaching. These were the rules for these speaking gifts. Only one person was to speak at one time, and no more than three in total. You see that in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 27. Number two, if there's no one who can translate, then no one is to speak in a foreign language. Look at verse 28. Number three, women were not preach in any way, whether foreign language or not, in the church. That is when the whole church is gathered, verses 34 and 35. So it may be okay to pray for a specific gift as long as the purpose for your asking is out of love for God and a desire to build others up in the faith, as was dealt with in chapter 13. But the gift that Paul directed the Corinthian believers to ask God for was the gift of prophesying, that is preaching, in other words, speaking clearly the truths of God. And the context actually indicates that the believers were to ask for the gift of prophesying as a group. In other words, that the Holy Spirit would send someone with that gift to minister to that group of believers. So that's the way to pray for that particular gift. Pray that God would send it for that group of believers. What I hope you received from our study of tongues this afternoon is that God gave every spiritual gift for the purpose of building up the body of Christ, a term that refers to those who have repented of their sins and placed their faith and trust in Christ for salvation from sin and hell. The gift of tongues was both a sign gift to help the Jewish believers to see that salvation was for Samaritans and Gentiles as well as Jews. And it was an apostolic service gift to enable the quick spread of the gospel to people groups who did not speak Aramaic, Greek, or Latin, which were the common languages that were used at that time and in that area. How wonderful and convenient it would be today for missionaries going to unreached people groups to have this gift of tongues. However, God gives grace to modern missionaries to patiently learn the needed language to enable them to preach the gospel to those who need to hear it. I love this, and I have learned several languages over my lifetime. The problem with languages is if you don't use it, you lose it. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Use it or lose it. That's the key. And so I have learned Spanish when I was a child, grew up in Chile. Well, grew up, what am I saying? I lived there for 6 years, okay, from the time I was two to the time I was seven, and I spoke Spanish, but because I didn't use it, I've pretty much lost it, except it comes back every now and then when I hear Spanish being spoken. The point is, every subsequent language that I've learned has been difficult because you've got to work at it, you've got to be patient, you've got to really, truly want to learn it, and God can enable you to learn it, but it takes time. And if you don't use it, you'll lose it, so you have to keep practicing it. I find it very interesting. I've got this app on my phone that's called Duolingo. Anybody heard of Duolingo? Okay, so right now I'm learning Italian. Why? Well, there was a couple that attended our church, started attending our church, and Brother Emmanuel was Italian, and I wanted to get to know him a little better and have something in common with him, so I started learning Italian, and that just kind of brightened his day, and so I learned more and more Italian, and what a blessing. He trusted the Lord as Savior, and he got baptized just a few months ago. What a blessing for that. So languages are a way to communicate the gospel. They're a means to communicate the wonderful truths of God's word. And what a blessing it would be if we had this gift of tongues. I don't have the gift of tongues. I have to learn it the hard way. I don't get it given to me immediately. But God gave it to Paul and Barnabas and others because God was sending them to get the gospel as quickly as possible to so many parts of the world at that time. So what a blessing that we have tools that can help us learn languages. And I encourage you to learn other languages. I have tried to memorize John 3:16 in quite a number of languages just in case I hear someone speaking in a particular language. Then I will find out what language that is, and then I will say, hey, can I tell you something I've learned in your language? And then I quote from John 3:16. And it's a way to get the gospel in a nutshell to them, ask the Lord to use it in their hearts and awaken them to their needs. So what a blessing. And I hope that this study this afternoon has been an encouragement to you to understand what this gift of tongues is. And we're going to continue to study it in the next two Sunday afternoons. I will be able to do it next Sunday, but then I have that surgery and I'll be out of commission for several weeks. So we'll have to do that last one on tongues several weeks from now. But next Sunday, I will do part two of our study of tongues. All right, let's ask the Lord to bless in our hearts what we've learned. Holy Father, we thank you for your wonderful word, where you have written down for us everything we need in order to live godly in Christ Jesus, as the Apostle Peter wrote in his epistle. Lord, I pray that as we take in your word and that we desire for you to use it to change our way of thinking, to be in line with your thinking, I pray that you would help us to retain it and that it would become helpful in speaking to others about you. And Lord, I pray that we would not miss opportunities to witness to the lost. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would learn, even though it may be hard and difficult and time-consuming, help us to learn another language that we know would be useful in giving the gospel to those around us. I pray that you would enable us to be able to do it and to be able to communicate the gospel to others. I pray now, Father, that you would help us to communicate to those who speak our language. Help us to communicate to everyone who speaks our language faithfully, Lord. May we witness to them faithfully and not miss opportunities to get the gospel to them. I pray, Father, that we will love them with your love, that we would pray for them and ask you to do a work in their hearts, that they would come to know you as Savior. And Lord, may it glorify you. And we thank you for your wonderful word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.